Hello, and welcome. Heat is one of the seminal films of the 90s. It's a film that truly speaks to men. Yeah, at its core, it's a simple cops and robbers tale, but it delves deeper into male dynamics and into the male psyche more than 95% of the films out there. Loyalty, respect, brotherhood, the longing for freedom and individuality. Man, all these traits and issues are front and center and on full display throughout the film. Many people, they see this film as a portrait of isolation, but it's in essence reflecting the male experience and a deep-seated conflict within men. It's a movie that would never be made today. And Neil McCauley, played by De Niro, he's a meticulous and highly skilled criminal. He's a master thief, and he's tactically trained, because we can see Neil has a Marines tattoo on his shoulder, so he's served in the military. But he's methodical to the point of obsession, and his lifestyle is Spartan. His contact with the outside world, it's restricted to a close-knit team of criminals he formed bonds with inside prison. And we learn that McCauley has spent considerable stretches inside and in solitary confinement. And to spend that amount of time in the hole, it would indicate high levels of aggression and violence, but something obviously changed for him inside. And there's a line that McCauley repeats twice in the film, and it's a line that almost every man knows. And it's in reference to a man he knew in prison, who was obviously a mentor to him and shaped his outlook. "Don't let yourself get attached to anything. You are not willing to walk out on in 30 seconds flat if you feel the heat around the corner." That line cuts to the core of the male experience, in that everything external, everything material, all relationships and so on, all are immaterial in relation to a man's purpose. And both protagonists, they embody this. It's about as primal a description of the male experience as there ever could be. And it's something that's always misconstrued and reframed by people. But it's an instinct. It's a drive that created the world that we inhabit today. And it's something that's inherent to men. It's a drive that can create or it can destroy. Vincent Hanna, played by Pacino, he's a driven detective. And he's obsessive to the point that he's now on his third marriage, with the current one falling apart. Now, at home, he's miserable. He's lost, but at work, he's energized. Now, it's like his current partner states to him after he abandons her at a party to attend a homicide scene. She says, "You search for the scent of your prey, and you hunt them down. It's the only thing you're committed to. The rest is the mess you leave as you pass through." Many would look at Vincent's life in that regard, that he's destroying relationships, which he is. But it's failing to see the full picture, and it's a picture that even Vincent is oblivious to. It's failing to see that these relationships, this domestic life, it's just going through the motions for Vincent. It's empty. The marriage, the home they share together, the routines and the interactions between him and his wife, it's all window dressing. It's like that scene in Fight Club where Tyler Durden asks his father, "I graduated college, Dad. Now what do I do?" And the father replies, "Oh, I don't know, son. Get married." And many men, they live their entire lives conforming to others' expectations, even when all it brings them is just misery, a profound sense of alienation. And there's two scenes in this film that really resonate with people. One is the bank robbery scene and the ensuing shootout, and the other is a coffee shop scene, where McCauley and Hanna confront each other for the first time. In the coffee shop scene, we see two veterans in their chosen fields, consummate professionals, driven, obsessive. And it's a chess match, but there's a deep respect between both of them. And you can see it. They listen intently to one another. And they share more with one another than they do with anyone else. It's like it's almost cathartic for both of them. And there's an appreciation from both of them. Two worthy adversaries. And they're also testing each other. Hanna asks, "You looking to get caught and get busted back?" McCauley says, You see me doing liquor store holdups with a Born to Lose tattoo on my chest? Hannah replies, no. No, I don't. Because Hannah, he respects Macaulay. And Macaulay, he walked away from a job, which he would have sunk major cash into, just because he heard a sound across the street when Hannah was surveilling him and his crew during a job. And we see in that moment that Macaulay lives his motto. He walked away. And in truth, I mean, Macaulay, he could walk away without doing another heist, because he has the savings. These are high-end heists. And the amount of prep work and monetary investment on jobs like this would be substantial. I've never met criminals of this caliber. Because even in the bank shootout, the LAPD, they're completely outmatched. And it's an interesting paradox, you know. Some may see it as unrealistic or contrary to Macaulay's nature that he would hit a bank because it's high risk. Now, even though they took considerable prep work to short-circuit the surveillance and the alarm system, but at the same time, it's in line with the character because he's driven to do this. You see how calm and collected he is during the robbery. His heart rate would be level. He's detached. He's emotionally flat. But he's obsessive about every minor detail. And there is, at the same time, a self-destructive bent, which is in line with the character if we look at his prior history of incarceration. And there is a competitive drive between him and Hannah, because this is what they live for. Everything else is inconsequential. This is when they're both most alive. And for a film that is so stylistic, it's still very minimalistic, which I like. You know, even the dialogue is lean. You know, the scene where Chris, you know, Val Kilmer's character, he crashes at Macaulay's apartment. He asks him, when are you going to get some furniture in here? Macaulay answers, when I get around to it. Then Chris asks, when are you going to get a woman? Macaulay answers, when I get around to it. You know, every guy can relate. Because Macaulay, he has no need for anything other than the bare basics, and he keeps attachments to a bare minimum. And when he breaks his code, when he allows himself to get attached with Edie, there is an internal conflict. His pipe dream of relocating with this woman he just met, it's idealistic at best, and it's impulsive, but it's still in keeping with who Macaulay is. You know, that self-destructive impulsiveness. And at the same time, he adheres to a very strict code. He can kill without compunction, yet he's also capable of strict self-discipline and loyalty and real tenderness. Michael Mann, he directed a similar film called Thief years before, starring James Caan. And that character was in essence a prototype for the Macaulay character. That character was originally based on an actual criminal. And that movie, just like Heat, it has the characters talking straight from the hip. You know, they say what they feel, they speak only when they need to. And when they do, the words have resonance. A Thief, it's a highly underrated film, and it actually provides a far deeper understanding of the Macaulay character in relation to his background, and especially in regards to his experiences inside prison and how it shaped him. And the Vincent Hanna character, he gets loud at times. And the character originally was rumoured to have a cocaine habit, but the film omitted it. It would actually make sense for Hanna to have a substance abuse habit, because he lives for the thrill of the chase. Everything else to him is monotony. And Macaulay, he researches Hanna, and he finds out he's one of those cops that never sleep. You know, he's always out there hunting, never at rest. And Hanna, he's haunted by his actions. He relates to Macaulay a recurring dream he has, where he's sitting at a table with all the criminals he killed. Now, they have eight balls for eyes. They don't say anything. They just stare at him. And you get the sense there is no one else in the world he could tell that to other than Macaulay. And instead of Macaulay judging Hannah, he shares that he too has a recurring dream, but it's one where he's drowning. And Hannah asks, you know what that's about? Macaulay says, yeah. He says, means I don't have enough time. And then they both talk about life and relationships, but it's obvious to both of them how empty all those other things are to them. Then Hannah shares that he's on his third marriage and his personal life is a disaster. And Macaulay points out that if you're out there chasing criminals 24/7, how do you expect to keep a marriage? Hannah asks him, he says, what are you, a monk? And Macaulay replies that he has a woman. And Hannah's curious. And he asks him, if you have to move when I move, how do you expect to keep a woman in your life? And Macaulay, he shares his code. It's to not let himself get attached to anything he can't walk out on in 30 seconds. And he states, that's the discipline. And you can see a real degree of respect from Hannah in that moment. And it tells him everything he needs to know about Macaulay. This is a worthy adversary. But he's also a reflection of Hannah in many ways. And the real crux of the conversation is when they basically admit, you know, that truth to one another, realizing that their vocations, what they do, is who they are and what they live for. And Hannah, he admits, I don't know how to do anything else. Macaulay says, neither do I. Hannah replies, I don't much want to either. Macaulay smiles, saying, neither do I. And what's great is they confront one another without any aggression. You know, they hold their own, they listen and they engage respectfully. And by doing so, they realize just how similar they are to one another. And there's a level of detachment in both characters. They keep others at arm's length. And they both know it's necessary in order to, as Hannah puts it, it keeps me sharp on the edge where I need to be. But it's also because it's impossible to relate to others their experiences, because there has to be detachment in order to be able to function in their respective vocations. And in the film, the city they inhabit, how it's shot, it's empty, it's pared back, it's minimalistic. So everything is a reflection of the character's psychology and their experience. They're alone in this world, yet only truly visible to one another. Even in the shootout scene, everything is from their perspective, and it's very immediate, it's very claustrophobic. As Hannah says at one point, all I am is what I'm going after. So everything else in his life just suffers as a result. So that same self-destructive nature, it's part and parcel of Hannah. I mean, you see Hannah at home, he seems lost, he seems trapped. He's only at ease on the street. But at home, he's unable to relate. He's deeply conflicted. And you see this in all the male characters in the film. They're inherently self-destructive. And everyone that comes into contact with them, they're caught up in the chaos. And yet all of them are equally complicit. Now, Edie doesn't run when she finds out Macaulay is responsible for a robbery which left numerous people dead. And the same is true with the other woman in the film. You know, Hannah's wife, she sleeps with another man just to elicit a reaction from him. And Hannah's stepdaughter, she attempts suicide as a cry for help. But both Hannah and Macaulay, they speak to men. You know, they're natural leaders, they're competent, they're resourceful, they're level-headed, and they live by a code. They embody a discipline of character that is exclusively male. Yet there's a conflict in both of them. You see how isolated they are from others. You know, there's a dinner scene with Macaulay and his crew, and you see how isolated he is from the other couples. So he goes and calls Edie, and from there, they progress things. But it's a common issue for men. You know, there's the idealized notion of a relationship and of companionship, which more often than not is, for a man, it's just going through the motions. Yeah, it doesn't bring that desire for closeness and connection that a man seeks. It's unfulfilling. It's the illusion of intimacy. And connections are important, as are relationships with others. And the film shows clearly that there is a cost for a man who detaches himself from others and from wider society. But that fundamental core aspect of a man, a purpose, that which drives him, that which he is instinctively drawn to, if that is lacking, that man is in many respects an empty vessel, and nothing fills that void. Now, these two protagonists, they're high octane, they're most alive when they're in the field of battle. But even then, they're calm, they're level-headed, they're detached. It's like two prize fighters in a ring. You know, that bell goes, and every move is instinctive. And we know how the film is going to end. Now, during the coffee shop scene, Hannah says, "If it's between you and some poor bastard whose wife you're going to turn into a widow, brother, you are going down." And Macaulay responds, "There's a flip side to that coin. So you do got me boxed in. I will not hesitate, not for a second." So the film, it couldn't end any other way. Because Macaulay, he stated he was never going back inside, and Hannah lives for the thrill of the hunt. But this film, it reveals more about male nature and about male psychology than most films ever will. Yeah, many who watch this movie, they'll never see past surface level. But it's about as intimate a portrait of the internal conflict within men that you will ever see. You know, that male desire for freedom, which is at odds with modern society and with societal expectations. And the virtues both these men live and extol, you know, loyalty, respect, brotherhood. They live in society, but they're separate from it. They live for the thrill of the chase, but they also take great pride in their work. And everything else is a distant second. It's a film that speaks to men even more the older that they get. And you revisit it, you appreciate even more the bare minimalism and the honesty of the characters. You know, it's men at their core, stripped back, living with purpose and truth.